In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, it is the fourth week of Great and Holy Lent. We are a little bit past midway, and we have as our next signpost on our Lenten journey a great ascetic of the Church, a great teacher of the Church, St. John of the Ladder, also known as St. John Climacus. Climacus just meaning of the ladder. Okay? St. John was a monk at St. Catherine's Monastery at the base of Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. He came to the monastery as a 16-year-old and died at the monastery as its abbot in old age. St. John left behind a number of spiritual writings, his most famous being The Ladder of Divine Ascent, a spiritual work of great importance in Orthodox spirituality, and which inspired a very well-known icon of the book of the same name, the icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent, which hangs in the stairwell of our church, right? So as we ascend the stairwell to church, we see the Ladder of Divine Ascent. In this work, St. John Climacus outlines 30 rungs by which one may ascend by God's grace to paradise, to Christ himself. It is a work of exhortation to fellow monastics requested by the abbot of another monastery for precisely this purpose. So it's actually a letter of sorts. The ladder is an intense work. We don't just hand it out to anyone. It's not milk for the spiritually young or the immature, but it's solid food, as St. Paul speaks of. And it must be chewed on and contemplated for periods at a time. In this work, St. John acts like a great physician, diagnosing and then offering concise, practical, sometimes obscure maxims and aphorisms to his readers, meant as words of encouragement and exhortation to continue and fight the good fight and run the race set before them in the arena of spiritual struggle. And on this Sunday, I wanted to talk specifically about one of these rungs on the ladder of divine ascent, because I think it's especially important in today's world. And the rung which I'm speaking of is the 13th rung. Almost right in the middle of the ladder of divine ascent, there's 30 rungs. This is the 13th. And on this rung, St. John of the Ladder deals specifically with the sin or the temptation of asidia. Okay, asidia. Oftentimes, this vice is translated as despondency, but it's so much more than that. Asidia, if you want to know how to spell that, A-C-E-D-I-A, asidia, is a wide-ranging set of feelings, everything from restlessness and dissatisfaction to feeling tired, under the weather, to sadness for no apparent reason, loss of interest in whatever it is that we're doing, especially spiritual things such as prayer and reading, distractfulness, desire to constantly be elsewhere, idleness mixed with curiosity, and hopelessness, among other things. As one priest I heard put it, it's kind of like a spiritual midlife crisis, okay? A spiritual midlife crisis. St. John of the Ladder describes it as a slackening of the soul and a weakening of the mind. Elsewhere, it's described as both listlessness and idle curiosity. It's an ancient vice. It's been with us forever. Indeed, if you were to read the hours of the church, so if you were to read the sixth hour of the church, traditionally, this is the hour, the prayers that are said at noontime. If you were to read the prayers traditionally said at noontime, called the sixth hour, it is present in the third psalm that is read at the sixth hour, at noon. It's Psalm 90. And in that psalm, you've probably heard it before, it's called the Demon of Mishap or Noonday, the Demon of Noonday, right? And it's an odd phrase, the Demon and Mishap of Noonday. What does this have to do with asidia? Why is asidia so often called the Noonday Demon? The reason is, from about noon to 3 p.m. is when a lot of the early writers of the church said you're most susceptible to asidia, to the noonday demon. It's when these feelings begin to overtake us. And here I'm not talking about, you know, like clinical depression. That's something completely different. But these feelings that we get that are commonly connected to acidia. Whether you're a monk or a lay person, oftentimes at some point we get up in the morning, right? Especially if we have work or kids or class, and maybe we, you know, God willing, say some prayers, and then maybe we eat breakfast, drink some coffee, and we begin our day. We may even start to get into the groove of things. Perhaps the first few hours go by well. If you're a monk or a nun in the desert, perhaps, you know, your basket weaving or your saying of the Jesus prayer is going by well. Your obedience is going well. But what happens around noon, and not just for monks and nuns in the desert, but what happens to us? Oftentimes, we begin to get hungry. We start to yawn. The coffee has worn off. We start to think about what we're going to do after work. What's for dinner? So maybe we eat lunch. Maybe we mess around on our phone for a bit. And then perhaps we find that it's almost impossible to get started on work again. If you're a monk in the wilderness, you know, at the middle of the day, the sun is now in the middle of the sky. It's probably hot out. And your mind begins to wander. In all of these cases, we are suffering from acidia. We are being visited by the demon of noonday. And I get it. It's hard, especially at work or school or when the day is about half over. We begin dreaming of the end of the day, when we get to go and do whatever it is we want to do after work. But this isn't really what the demon is after. That's not really necessarily what I'm talking about. Instead, I'm not necessarily talking about it just in our secular occupations. The more dangerous form of acidia is when we'll probably find when it hits us is no other place than, for example, our prayer corner, right? Or when we sit down to read some scripture, or as soon as we set foot in the church. As soon as we have a moment away from ourselves, away from the distractions of our TV or our cell phones, whatever else, especially you know, if we're part of the younger generation, we're more just distractible. What happens when we stand in front of our icon corner, right? What happens when we start to say our evening prayers or our pre-communion prayers? What happens to me, for example, as soon as I say, "Blessed is the kingdom," up at the altar? As soon as we resolve to spend a little time away with God, with the saints, as soon as that first litany starts, or as soon as we read that first psalm or line from Scripture, boom, right? A million little things come rushing at us. Tiredness, lethargy, distractions, a laundry list of things come rushing in to our mind. Any one of you, you know, who has gotten to know me a little bit might know that sometimes I'm a little forgetful. But there are three points in my, you know, daily life when I experience the greatest clarity of thought in terms of like the administrative side of church. When I remember the laundry list of things I need to get done today or tomorrow or the next day. And those three times are during private prayer, during reading of the scriptures or the lives of the saints, and when I'm standing up at the altar. In reality, if I wanted to be a highly productive person, I would, you know, if I wanted to be the most productive priest in the world, I would take my computer away from my office and I would bring it up to the altar. And I would begin a divine liturgy and then boom, I would remember all the emails I need to send, all the people I need to talk to, all the houses I still need to bless, all of these things, right? I would have total clarity about my job. Because the demon of noonday, acidia, would have me wrapped around its finger, would have me whispering all the other little things I need to be doing throughout my day besides praying to God, right? Acidia is one of the greatest spiritual battles we will face on a day-to-day basis. Acidia, it comes in two forms, active and passive. In its active form, it's constantly wanting us to do other things, be other places. For monks and nuns, oftentimes it was them trying to get them to visit other monasteries all the time. In its passive form, it's slothfulness, hopelessness, and despair. It's what King David was feeling when he saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, in 2 Samuel, which caused him to fall into adultery, right? And then eventual murder. He kills Uriah. Right. In fact, it was most certainly this sin, this vice, acidia, because the passage tells us in 2 Samuel that when David sees Bathsheba and he falls into adultery with her, it's late in the afternoon. Right. It's late in the afternoon when David rises from his couch while his army is doing battle, no less. His army is out fighting. It's the springtime. 2 Samuel says this is when kings would go and do war. Right. So he's out doing battle. His army's out doing battle. Uriah's out doing battle. And King David is walking along his rooftop, sleeping, totally idle, totally lazy, looking for something better to do, right? And he even calls Uriah back and after he impregnates Bathsheba and says, you know, you should lay with your wife, you know. He just tells him that. He's like, no, I'm doing something important. I'm battling, right? I'm fighting for our nation. That's how crazy different, you know, Uriah and King David were, right? But it was Asadiah. It was the middle of the day when this happened to King David. The worst thing that he could have possibly done. And this doesn't mean to say that relaxing is evil. Not at all, right? St. Anthony notes with the analogy of the bow that we have to relax sometimes or else we might break, like a bow, okay? Like a bow. But the kind of idleness that leads to idle curiosity for unseemly things or that distracts us in prayer or at church or when we're with our spouse or children, this is the type of idleness that needs to be brought before God and resisted. Asadiah, the noonday demon, is a poison that kills the Christian soul. And it was a vice that St. John of the Ladder so accurately diagnosed. St. John compares Asadiah to a sick man who gathers his strength and is healed of his sickness, whatever his sickness is, and then jumps out of bed ready to seize the day and whatever comes his way. And he starts doing all this. And he's completely fine until the hour of prayer when his body is weighed down and he begins to pray and he becomes sick again and he falls asleep. And he's torn to shreds with untimely yawns, as Saint John says. This is Asadiah. This is the demon of noonday. And it just so happens to be right in the middle of Saint John's ladder. It's rung 13 in his 30-rung ladder. I don't think that this is on purpose. I think this also accounts for the entirety of a Christian's spiritual life. Oftentimes in the beginning, when the baptismal waters are fresh, when the chrism is still kind of wet, our prayers are light and easy. Our fasting isn't so bad. We float along as light as a feather. But in the heat of noonday, when we're on our third or fifth Lent, when we come to our prayer corner for the 800th time to say pre-communion prayers, or, you know, when it's just the fourth Sunday of Lent, this is when Asadiah strikes. That's when the demon of noonday strikes. It's at the noonday of our own Christian life. When it comes, we must identify it. We must bring it to God, and we must have the long-suffering and the strength to resist it. If you look at the icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent, you'll see something very interesting in the icon. You can go look at the one in the stairwell. You go look at it, and look at where all the monks are falling off of the ladder, right? It's not in the beginning and it's not at the end. Those monks are still on their way up the ladder. No, it's right in the middle. It's from rung, I actually counted where the monks start falling off. It's rung 8 to about rung 23 or 24, okay? Rung 8 to about 23 or 24. Right in the middle. That's where they start falling off the ladder. That's when the demons start pulling them down. That's when we're most vulnerable in the heat of the noonday of our spiritual lives. And so what can we do? Well, first, we can acknowledge that such a thing exists. If you don't know about Asadiah, if you don't know about the noonday demon that we all experienced, that the great King David experienced, now you do. So be on the lookout for it. Second, we can be patient and hopeful and prayerful. We can bear the noonday heat, the little distracting whispers, with patience and long-suffering and hope. They test us and they make us stronger. And we can turn these cares over to Christ, who was also tempted by the devil when he went into the wilderness. And third, we can remember our own sins and our own death. Remembering death is a great aid against Asadiah because it recalls the shortness of our own lives. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. We must do the work of God here today in the present. So may this be a sobering reminder. It's the fourth week of Lent. The sun is beating down on us, just as it beat down on Christ in the wilderness. But we are not alone. We are not to stay here. We are, when we are tempted by the noonday demon, by Asadiah, look to the empty tomb. Look to the one who has gone before us as the harbinger of death to death in Hades. The one is who, as St. Paul tells us in Ephesians, raises us up together and makes us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Through the prayers of St. John of the Ladder and of all the saints, and in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.